Good morning or good afternoon, since we have artists joining us from across America and the world. There's someone from Austria, Thailand, Australia, Great Britain. Whew. This is day three of the Smartest Telesummit 2007, and we are going to hear the first two presenters back to back, Joan Stewart and Jeffrey Gorman, for the next hour and a half. Then we will take a 15-minute break and come back for our final keynote of the day, Claudine Helmuth. But before we dive in, we want to thank our sponsors, ArtSpan.com and ArtExchange.com. These companies provide website space for artists, and I encourage you to check them out and see if it's a good fit for your career path. Today, we get to start Smartest Day 3 with a cup of hot, steaming mojo. For if anyone can wake us up to all the possibilities out there for free publicity, it's my amazing colleague, Joan Stewart, free publicity expert of thepublicityhound.com. Hello, Joan. Welcome back.
Hi, Ariane. It's great to be here with you. I have a brand new headset on today, and can you hear me loud and clear?
Oh, I hear you perfectly.
Okay, excellent. If for some reason you have a problem hearing me, just dive right in and I can pick up the earpiece instead.
Yes. No, not to worry. It looks, sounds really great.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave you, artists, in the best of hands. Joan, they are all yours.
Okay, and if anybody has any questions for me, Ariane, should they just go ahead and email them to you directly?
They should.
Okay, very good. All right, let's talk about how to position yourself as an art expert online and offline. I want to talk very quickly first about why expertise is important if you want publicity. Expertise is important because the media flock to experts. We see experts all over the place. We see them, for those of you who watch Nightline on ABC, we see them every night from Monday through Friday. We see them on the network news being giving sound bites in front of the camera. We see them in our newspapers. Experts are on the covers of magazines. They are every place. And I see a reluctance among a lot of people, small business people especially. They're reluctant to call themselves experts because they don't think they're the one person in the whole world who knows the most about a particular topic. So let me put your mind at ease about calling yourself an expert. And the first thing I want to do is call your attention to a wonderful white paper called The Expertise Imperative. It's a white paper that was written by five of my colleagues in the National Speakers Association. It was written several years ago after they delved into the topic of expertise. Because as speakers, we need to position ourselves as experts. So that because meeting planners hire experts to come in and present workshops and training sessions and things like keynotes. So we ask ourselves, what is it that makes an expert, and what do we have to do to be considered experts in our field? My colleagues wrote a wonderful 12-page white paper that you can download for free, and you have the link in your handouts. It is at nsaspeaker.org/PDFS/expertise_WHT_paper.pdf. And if you, for some reason, can't get that link to work, just email Ariane and we'll get it for you. Please download this 12-page white paper that was written specifically for people in the speaking profession. Now, you might be saying to yourself, why am I downloading a white paper on what speakers have to do to be considered experts if I'm an artist who wants to be considered an expert? Understand that my trade association, the National Speakers Association, has several thousand members who are professional speakers, and we come from a wide range of backgrounds. Some of the speakers in our organization are also artists. And I think this white paper can work for pretty much anybody. And the great thing about the white paper is my colleagues discovered that the word expertise does not have only one definition. There are, in fact, about 10 different levels of expertise. starting at the very bottom, a person, for example, at the lowest level of expertise is somebody who can debate a topic or debate their particular area of expertise extemporaneously, right off the top of their head, and very convincingly. And it goes up the ladder all the way to the very top, which is an expert who has developed a very long history of uninterrupted expertise. So if you read this white paper, you're going to see something very interesting. What the white paper shows is that expertise is not only about what you know. It's not only about what's in your brain, in between your two ears. Expertise is also about what you do. And it pinpoints the exact thing that experts do. For example, experts give classes in their field. Many of them are interviewed by the media. Experts are quoted by others. Experts blog, and I'll talk about blogging in a minute. Experts write articles about their particular topic, and they post them online. Experts have great websites. They appear on panels at industry conferences. Experts are not afraid to join the conversation when the discussion is about a controversial topic. And experts, many of them, also publish newsletters. Those are just some of the things that experts do. So take a look at this free 12-page white paper, and you should be able to pinpoint fairly quickly where you are on the ladder of expertise. Once you've identified where you are, then take a look at the highest level, the next highest level, right above where you are. And that'll be a pretty good guideline about what the things are that you need to do to climb to the next highest level of expertise. So I'm betting that everybody listening to this today is an expert in some topic. You might be an expert in watercolors. You might be an expert in photography. If you take photos and sell them that people can use as artwork on the walls of their home. I have a friend who's a very talented artist. She and her sister make garden art, specifically scarecrows, and she is an expert in scarecrows. So there are all different kinds of things that you can be an expert in. So as you go along on your publicity campaign, do not be afraid to promote yourself as an expert. Okay, the next thing you need to do, once you know what an expert is you need to target media outlet very narrowly. I see this is a big mistake that a lot of people make. They think that the whole trick to getting a lot of publicity is to contacting as many media outlets as they possibly can. And I see people emailing press releases to 3,000 and 4,000 media outlets, and they're hoping to themselves, gee, if I get a 1% rate of return, I'll get 30 media outlets to feature me. And that's a pretty good rate of return. Well, that's not the way it works. Media don't want the feeling that what you're sending them is the same thing you sent to 2,999 other media outlets. They want something that's customized just for them. So I think it's a much better idea to put together what I call a top 25 media hit list, a list of 25 media outlets that you want to feature you. These can be newspapers, they can be consumer magazines, they can be business-to-business publications for those of you who sell perhaps to the corporate marketplace, artwork for companies that they can put in their lobbies. Also, television and radio shows might be perfect for some of you. You want to compile a list of, and it doesn't even have to be 25. Some of you may only have 10 media outlets. If there are any people listening to this who only sell artwork in their own community, you might only have a half a dozen media outlets. But the whole trick in putting together a media hit list is to concentrate just on the media outlets that are the perfect fit for your target audience. You want newspapers and magazines who are read by people who are in a perfect position to buy your artwork. You want to get onto TV shows and radio shows that people who are in a position to buy your artwork listen to. Okay, so what do you do once you've got this list together? The next thing you want to do is you want to research each of these media outlets before you start contacting them with information about your business. And this is a very important step that a lot of people skip. But I promise you, if you take the time to research media outlets on your hit list, you're going to be in a much better position to give these media outlets terrific stories that they can use and the kind of information that would be a perfect fit with their audiences. So I'm going to give you 6 ways to research media outlets. Number one, for every media outlet on your hit list, I want you to visit their website. Go online and spend some time taking a look at their website, and you may find some very interesting things. For example, here in Milwaukee, I was at the website of one of the local TV stations a year or two ago, and I happened to notice that they had little pictures and profiles of their on-air reporters. And I took the time to call up a couple of them, and there was one on-air reporter, and I read in his profile that he happens to be a fan of smooth jazz and that he hangs out in some of the local jazz clubs here in Milwaukee. And I thought to myself, how beautiful. If I was going to pitch this guy a story, if I was going to call him on the phone to pitch a story idea to him, I'm a jazz lover. Wouldn't it be great if I happened to mention in the conversation that I too like jazz and I understand that he likes smooth jazz? That's something that it's like the tie that binds both of us together. And that's something that I wouldn't know about him had I not taken the time to visit that particular TV station's website. So look at the website, find out if the newspapers or magazines, for example, have an online version of the newspaper or the magazine. Sometimes there are separate editors for the online version of some of these publications. Okay, so that's one way to research a website. Number two, for broadcast outlets, for radio shows and for TV shows that you want to get onto, I want you to listen to as many or watch as many of those TV shows as you can before you pitch, preferably at least 6 different shows I want you to either watch or listen to, because you need to have a really good feel for the kinds of guests they have on. You need to have a good feel for how tough the interviewer is. Does the interviewer or the host seem to be a pretty easy interview? Do they laugh and joke around a lot with the guests? Or do they pretty much put them through the meat grinder? You need to know this stuff before you get onto a show. I also want to name a particular radio show. It's actually a whole radio organization that could be a terrific vehicle for artists simply because of the kinds of audiences that they go out to and the kinds of audiences they target. And it's one that most of you are familiar with. It's called National Public Radio, and you can find them online at npr.org, O-R-G. The great thing about this particular website is that they have a little search function at the box where you can plug in a keyword, and it might be keywords about your particular art. You might key in, for example, just put in watercolors and press the search box. And if there have been shows that included interviews with watercolor artists or shows about watercolors, those shows will pop up on a list. And the cool thing about the NPR website is they have a wonderful archive of past shows. So if you find out, for example, that the topic of watercolors has been on 6 different NPR shows, and I'm just using this as an example, you can go back and listen to those shows that have featured either the topic of watercolors or watercolor artists. And you can find out exactly which NPR shows already have featured your topic. And it's like a little red flag. It's like a little clue that show could be perfect for the type of information that you have. And that website, again, is npr.org. For television shows, that's not quite as easy because you can seldom find archives of TV shows. But if it's a show that's currently on the air, you may be able to, for those of you who have cable especially, watch the show. Watch at least 6 different segments of that show to get a good feel for exactly the kinds of guests they have on and the kinds of questions they ask. Number 3, for newspapers and magazines, I want you to read the editor's column. In big magazines especially, in consumer magazines or in trade publications, the editor usually has a column in the front of the magazine. And this column could be the most valuable part of the magazine or the newspaper that you read, and here's why. Editors often write about all kinds of things that their magazine is covering. They write about current trends that the magazine's reporting on. They write about new geographic areas that they happen to be going into. Many editors introduce new staff members and columnists in the editor's column. They write about super hot topics that their readers are interested in. They write about new features that the magazine is presenting. And I really think that the editor's column is a missed opportunity by so many people. They skip right over it. But if you read it religiously, you'll get a great feel for the kinds of content that that magazine editor thinks is important. So read the column from the editor in newspapers and magazines. Number 4, I also happen to know that many journalists blog. And I'll explain real quickly what a blog is. A blog is an online diary or an online journal. Okay? It's a place where an expert writes, usually a couple times a week, on a particular topic. For example, I have a blog at publicityhound.net, and you can go to my blog and you can take a look at all the different things that I comment on. I basically blog about anything that has to do with publicity. I write about innovative publicity campaigns. I write about new television shows that are on the horizon that people might be interested in getting publicity on. I write about new magazines. I write about controversial topics. I write about anything and everything dealing with publicity. Many journalists also blog as part of their job. For example, let's say that there's an arts reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's somebody who covers art. And I'm just using this as an example. This reporter who covers the art scene might, in fact, blog about the topic of art in Milwaukee, either in addition to his job at the paper or separate from his job at the paper. So as you're looking at these publications, you want to try to identify the one person at each publication or at each TV or radio show who would be your key contact. And if you can identify somebody who covers the arts, I think that's terrific because it's a perfect tie-in. If, for example, you want to get into your local business journal in your town, because, of course, you have you buy and you sell art, and that's a business, you may not be able to find an arts reporter. Instead, it may be somebody who's simply a small business reporter. That might be your key contact. Once you find out the name of this person, do go to Google at google.com and just type in their name. Like, let's say, just use my name for an example. Let's say that you happen to identify me as the arts reporter at your daily newspaper and you want to see if I blog. You would just go to Google and you type in Joan Stewart blog and then see what comes up. If you find out that that person happens to have a blog, go to their blog and read it regularly to get a really good feel for the kinds of things they write about. This is real important. Journalists don't want to think that they are one of 9,999 other journalists who you happen to be pitching. They want to know that you know who they are, that you know who their audience is, that you know the kinds of information their audience is interested in, and that you have read things that they've written. So if you read articles that a particular journalist has written, and you can comment on those articles, when you call them on the telephone, you say, you know, Bob, you know, I happened to read the article you wrote in last week's paper about people in my community who sell artwork and have small businesses as artists. The second you say that, the reporter will know that you've been reading his stuff, and you will earn points for that, I promise you, because most people don't say that. Most people will get a journalist on the phone, and they'll just start launching into a pitch. Okay, so read their stuff and be able to comment on it. Number five, this is a really valuable tip on how to find journalists out there that you don't know about who are writing articles on particular topics, particularly journalists at very big publications, because, you know, it's terrific to be able to pitch an idea to a journalist who covers the art scene. But what happens if you don't know who these journalists are? How can you find out? Okay, this is a terrific tip. You want to set up what's called a Google Alert, A-L-E-R-T. And here's how to do it. You want to go to google.com, and over on the right-hand side, there's a little word called More. You want to click on that, and Google will take you to a page that lists in alphabetical order all the different features and tools that Google offers that you could use online. And you want to look for the one that says Alert. It's right at the top of the list, Google Alert. You click on that, and you tell Google that you want Google to deliver to you via email a list of articles or blog entries or anything it finds on the Internet dealing with a specific topic. And I'll give you an example of a Google Alert I set up. I'm an expert on how to write press releases, okay? So I want to know every time somebody online writes something dealing with press releases. So I went to google.com, and I set up a Google Alert for the phrase press releases and writing press releases. I told Google that I want them to send me this list every single day. And so at night, it's usually sometime in the evening, Google sends me in my inbox one long list of all the things online that have the keyword phrase writing press releases in it. And sometimes those are articles that reporters at big publications are writing. They might be writing a story on writing press releases or the newest way to write a press release or a press release distribution service. I pay attention to who that journalist is. And once I have the name of the journalist that's written that story, I can then plug that journalist's name back into Google and find all the other things that they've written online. So setting up Google Alerts is a fabulous way to find the journalists who exist out there, who write on your topic, who you don't know about. And I also think that here's something else that's pretty sneaky that you can do. If any of you have competitors who seem to be getting all the publicity, and these people are showing up every place, and you're wondering, you know, why is this other artist who also sells jewelry, beaded jewelry, why are they getting all the publicity, and how come I'm not? You can find out what publications they're getting into by setting up a Google Alert for that particular artist's name. And you can find where all the publications are and all the blogs online where they're showing up. And once you find out where they're showing up, you can then pitch those journalists with stories about you. Okay, number six, for print publications that you want to get into, a great way to do research, and again, this is a time-consuming step, but I promise you it will pay off. I want you to read at least 3 back issues of that particular magazine or newspaper and read them as thoroughly as you can. Most newspapers and magazines sell back issues. You simply have to call their main number, ask for the circulation department, and just go ahead and buy 3 back issues, the 3 most recent issues. Once you have these issues in your hand, you can find out who the specific reporters are who happen to report on your particular topic. So those are 6 ways to research media outlets. Okay, For the most part, I've been talking about traditional media, newspapers, magazines, TV, and radio stations. And it's also important that you create an online publicity campaign because, you know, the grim truth is, the grim reality is that newspaper circulation all over the country is just plummeting. And I got out of the business about 12 years ago because I saw what was happening to the newspaper business. And one of the reasons newspapers are losing circulation is because they have so many competitors online. Right now, more than ever, there are websites and blogs and all kinds of online vehicles that are giving people the kinds of information they're looking for. So you have got to have a huge online presence as well as getting publicity in traditional media outlets. So I want to talk about 10 ways to get online publicity. And I'm not going to have I don't have time to go into great depth on each one of these. Most of you will not be able to do all 10 of these things, so cherry pick from the list I'm going to give you and decide which ones you want to spend time doing. Okay, number one, this is real important. Start a blog on your topic. And within that blog, I want you to post photos of your artwork within your blog. I found a really neat, actually it's a blog, I believe, called The Artpreneur. It's at theartpreneur.com, and the link is in your handouts. This is an artist who provides great resources and instructions on how to start a blog. Okay, so take a look at that link, click on it, and read what she has to say about blogging. The reason blogging is so powerful is because the search engines love blogs, and blogs are like giant magnets out there on the internet that just pull in traffic to your website. And your blog, you may be able to house your blog directly at your website, or you may want a separate URL for your blog. It doesn't really make any difference which of the two you do, but do start blogging. And once you start blogging, you want to post little items, short little items to your blog at least a couple times a week. I want to tell you how you can start a blog in less than 15 minutes today for free. And you can see exactly how this works. Go to blogger.com, B-L-O-G-G-E-R.com. This is a website that's owned by Google. And click on the Start a Blog link. There's a simple three-step process for starting a blog. You can also pick exactly what you want your blog to look like. It's a simple three-step process. It's so easy, you can do it in a couple minutes. That website, again, is blogger.com. It is free. Let me give you a tip, however, about this website at blogger.com. I don't use blogger.com for my blog for one main reason. Blogger.com does not let you create subcategories and assign each blog entry to one or more categories. That's the only downside of blogger.com. So I use a program called WordPress, W-O-R-D-P-R-E-S-S. It's a free blogging program. There's also another excellent one called TypePad, T-Y-P-E-P-A-D, and both of these let you create subcategories. So if somebody comes to my blog, for example, and the only thing they care about is getting publicity on TV, they can call up my TV category and see all the blog posts that I've written on how to get onto TV. Okay, number two, now second way to get online publicity. Post comments at other people's blogs that are read by the kind of audience you want to get in front of. The reason this is so powerful is that when you post a comment at somebody else's blog, they will let you link back either to your own website or to your own blog. And so I set up these Google alerts for press releases. And when I go to somebody's blog that's been writing about press releases, I will often post a comment at their blog, sort of adding my 2 cents worth on how to write a press release. And I'll include the URL for my blog. So if somebody's at their blog reading my comment and they happen to like what I said, they're going to click on that link that leads them back to my blog. And it's a great way to get exposure online for what you're doing. Number three, submit articles to online article directories. And I think the best article directory out there is one called ezinearticles.com, E-Z-I-N-E, articles, plural, .com. It's the granddaddy of all article directory sites. You can write articles about your particular kind of artwork that you specialize in. If you're a photographer, you can write articles on how to take great photos. If you happen to make jewelry, you can write how-to articles on how to make jewelry yourself, or you can write an article on the history of beaded jewelry, or whatever your topic happens to be. The most important part of these articles is the little author resource box at the end that tells people how to contact you. At this website, at ezinearticles.com, you can do a search at this website. They have a lot of articles posted right at this site that will help you write terrific 500 and 600 word articles. So just, you know, take a look at the site, spend some time there, look around, and if you can't find what you're looking for, just email Christopher Knight. He's the guy who runs the website, and you can post your articles there for free to be picked up by the search engine. Number four, review books on your topic at Amazon.com. There are many, 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 many books out there on the market on all kinds of artwork and art. And if you're reading any of these books, post book reviews at Amazon. And if you don't happen to like that particular book, that's okay. Write a review saying why you didn't like the book. And Amazon will also let you link back from these reviews to your own website. They will also let you post top 10 favorite lists, you know, the top 10, my top 10 favorite kinds of beaded jewelry, or my top 10 favorite kinds of sculpture, for example. And so you can get publicity at Amazon even if you don't have a book out. Number five, write press releases and submit them online. Here's the key thing to keep in mind regarding press releases. Now that we can write press releases and post them online for everybody to find, we no longer write press releases only for journalists. We can write press releases directly for consumers who can find our press releases when they go to Google or go to any of the search engines and search for specific keyword phrases. If those phrases are within our press releases, that press release is going to come up, and they can read the press release, and from within our release, they can click on the link at our website and go to our website, and they can sign up for a newsletter, or they can take a look at our artwork, or they can email us and maybe even buy something, even if no journalists think our press releases are worthy of their time and attention. Isn't that cool? I think that's so cool. One of my New Year's resolutions is to start posting press releases regularly. I have a subscription at a website called Expert Click. It's expertclick.com, and it's pretty pricey. It's a like $800 or $900 a year. And if that is not within your budget, I would urge you to go over to PRWeb, W-E-B, that's PRWeb.com, and you can post a press release at that site for about $40. And the great thing about these press releases is once you post them online, they live on there forever. They live online forever. I also have a free tutorial that many of you might be interested in taking. You can go to my website at publicityhound.com and sign up for my free tutorial called 89 Ways to Write Powerful Press Releases. And it's all done via email, and again, it's free. Number six, pitch editors of electronic newsletters who write about the kind of topic that you're an expert in. Just go online to Google and do a search for ezine, E-Z-I-N-E, directories, or electronic newsletters, and see which ezines out there are devoted to your particular topic. I have an electronic newsletter, and I'm always looking for content on publicity, and many of these ezine editors would love a short article or tips or for you to share your expertise on a particular topic. Number seven, start your own electronic newsletter, and I know many of you are, I can hear you groaning now, you're saying, I don't have time to do this. time to publish an electronic newsletter, how about a simple tip of the week? A simple art tip of the week that has to do about your area of expertise. If you have a huge email list of people who have given you permission to email them, that's your ready-made community of people who might be in a position to buy your artwork. Number 8, go to a site called youtube.com, youtube.com. This is a cool site that most of you have probably heard about. You can create and post short little videos of you and your artwork right on YouTube for free. So let's say that you make clothing that can be worn as artwork, like really snazzy women's jackets, for example, out of all different kinds of fibers. You might want to show this jacket in various stages of construction and put together a short little 2 or 3 minute video on this jacket and post it at youtube.com to be found by the whole world. Number 9. Go over to myspace.com, that's myspace.com, and create a profile at MySpace. And I believe it also lets you post photos there, too. So in addition to posting a photo of yourself, you could probably post a photo of your artwork. And then when you're done at MySpace, go over to Craigslist, that's Craigslist.org. Craigslist.org is like a great big free community bulletin board, and there are more than 100 Craigslists for cities and countries all over the world. So if you live near, not even a major city, even if you live near a sort of a medium-sized city, and even smaller cities have their own Craigslist. So use Craigslist to post items about classes, let's say art classes that you're teaching. You can use it to post information on the newest piece of artwork that you've created. You can use it to post items about artwork that you have for sale. If you're looking for models, you can use Craigslist to post help wanted ads. And almost every kind of listing is free at Craigslist. Just about everyone except for help wanted ads in the very, very large cities like New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. So go over to Craigslist.org and take a look around at all the different categories that many of you artists can use to get publicity for your artwork. Okay, let's talk about what journalists and bloggers want from you. This is real important, regardless of who you're pitching, whether it's a journalist at a traditional media outlet or a blogger or an e-zine publisher, they're basically all looking for the same thing from you. They are all looking for you to make their jobs easy. They want you to be helpful. So here are some ways that you can be helpful to journalists and bloggers. Contact them. Tell them who you are, what you do, and how you think you can help them. And there's lots of ways that you can help journalists and bloggers. You can tip them off to story ideas, not only ideas about you. You can tip them off to ideas in your own community. You can tip them off to trends that you're seeing in the community or trends in the arts world. If there are any arts reporters especially, reporters everywhere write about trends. And I know when I was a reporter, I had to write about trends all the time, and I never had the time to go out and find trends. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Ariana, I'm just wrapping it up.
Okay, my dear. Glad. Thank you so much. Wow, I'm just whirling. I've been trying to take notes and listen and do other things at the same time.
Okay, just can I have about 15 more seconds?
You can.
Okay, so be helpful. And I want you to ask this question of every single journalist and blogger who you come in contact with. Ask the question, how can I help you? Listen to what they tell you. Pay attention, then follow through.
Joan, that's just fantastic. Jam-packed session. You are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Boy, the time sure flies.
It does. When you've got on the call, it really flies, let me tell you. All right. Have a great afternoon,
okay,
Joan.
Okay. Thanks, Ariane. Bye, everybody.
Hi, Ariane. It's Jeffrey Gorman.
Hi, Jeffrey.